Morena tātou, ko tēnei te mihi nui, kia koutou, just warm welcome, warm, many greetings to you. Good to be in the house this morning. Zoe always pushes us out of our comfort zone. Kia ora, Zoe. Now, I love that. The kingdom's not about comfortableness, is it? So I appreciate that about you, Zoe. And Adeline, love, well, all of us are walking miracle, but it's beautiful to testify that your life is so good. Your life matters. This morning, we're going through the Lord's Prayer. I was just thinking that our heart that around this series is that this is not kind of like we climb the escalon to prayer, that we have kind of like a graduation ceremony. Oh, well done, Daphne, you reached this level of prayer. Now you can go to the next level of prayer and we give you accolades and things. The heart of this prayer is that we would all have a desire and a deeper desire to go deeper and closer union with God. It's for all of us. It's not just for the elites or for the high priest to go into the temple once a year. This is for all of us. It's by the grace of Jesus that we all get to have this deep connection with God. It's a wonderful thing. Just so you know, my wife Sarah, she's not here today. She sends her love. She's in Oamaru. She's visiting her grandmother with her parents. But visiting her grandmother, who's not very well, could be the last time Sarah sees her grandmother, so she's taken an opportunity to go and spend some time with her, which is really special. And my mum and dad are here, who've been looking after my two big kids. Good to have mum and dad here, and if you're visiting, we just pray that you feel welcome and feel God's love and his grace towards you. But I thought we should start today by giving God the highest praise and thanks for the Black Caps win this week. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pray your blessing on Wagner's left arm for short pitch deliveries. Praise you, Lord, for the Warriors winning this week. Oh, no, it's like heaven's coming, man. Woo! Hey, sport is not an idol in my life, right? It probably is. Thank you, Lord. We've started with this beautiful prayer that Jesus gave us. This is a prayer from God for his disciples. And it started with our Father, that we posture ourselves and we pray, we come into a good Father. And that's where we start our prayer. Isn't it great? And who is in the heavens, hallowed be his name. Your kingdom come. We've started here, but we're going through to where Jesus has given us a prayer for our needs. We've got three specific needs around daily bread, around forgiveness, and around deliverance. So this is God telling us what we need to pray for regularly. Okay, if you were to write a prayer for disciples or whatever, you probably wouldn't put it this way. I doubt you would. But if we want to take this seriously, why Jesus is saying these things. But we're starting with today, teach us to pray. But just one thing that Kim said last week I loved, as I was listening this week, Kim said, our Father has a will that flows from heaven into earth. Our Father has a will that flows from heaven into earth. And this beautiful kind of phrase that theologians use, that the kingdom is now, but not fully yet. So we await for the return of Jesus, however that looks, but the kingdom is now. It's now. It's not just we sit down and freak out about the world happening around us and just wait till God takes us home. No, we're active participants in the kingdom of God. We usher in heaven. We don't step back and are afraid, but we believe and we're saved. We believe in that God is good, and we love him, and we just follow him in our day. I'm trying to work this doo-wacky, man. I've struggled my whole life with this doo-wacky. Scotty. Next slide. Let's say this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. Sorry, I don't know which version of the Lord's Prayer I say half the time, but it's kind of there or thereabouts, right? So here we are, Scotty. Give us this day our daily bread. If I'm honest with you, often I say this beautiful prayer, but I get through the first part really quickly and get me-centric and telling God what I need. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy glory come. Give me today what I need, God. That's often where I feel like I start when I come into consciousness. We start here. But Jesus is saying, give us what we need. And I love that about this prayer. The NLT says, give us today the food we need. The Passion Translations, the New Translation says, we acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. And that word give, it's not kind of like, oh, please. It's almost like a forceful word, isn't it? It's like we're just expecting that God is going to give us what we need. The dhomi, the Greek word, is to cause to have, as if to say, kind of like, God, you will give us our daily bread. It's quite a forceful, but that is the prayer that Jesus gave us. There's some issues around, or some ideas around daily bread. Our commentators think about it, is it just about this day or this coming day? Both. We can use both. Is it about today or the day that's coming for us? We can think of it in both ways. But at its essence, this is what this prayer is about. Leon Morris says, the prayer encourages a continuing dependence on God. The prayer is about a continuing dependence on God. It doesn't say, give us this week our daily bread or this fortnight, eh? This day, today. But it's also a confession of our own to our own souls that we need God. A daily confession that we need Him. Totally. To be useful participants in the kingdom of God. Scotty. The thing about bread, I bake this every morning. That's what it looks like every day. The smell of bread, right? It's so pleasurable. And Sarah often on a Sunday morning will put bread on and we get home and it's, oh, something's alive in this house. I'm ready to eat. The smell of bread, it's just intoxicating. It's beautiful. And real estate people say that if you're going to sell your house and you're having an open home, put on a loaf of bread or cookies, either way. Because it's something about the sense, the smell. It's just something so simple yet so pleasurable. But think, you know, we've been talking about when we hear this prayer, we don't want to hear what we first hear, but we want to think about what the first century Jews, what they're hearing for the first time when Jesus says this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. What were the Jews hearing maybe or thinking in their minds when they heard bread? And Garrett, in his dictionary, says that bread was the essential food of the ancient Israelites. Indeed, the very word bread could be used generically for any kind of food. Meat was eaten by peasants only at festival occasions, and other foods supplemented bread. As the backbone of life, bread came to be a primary metaphor for life and sustenance. Give us this day our life and sustenance. Give us this day our life and sustenance. The Jews could have been thinking about Passover. They had their unleavened bread, didn't they? That they ate every year as a reminder of the haste of which God called them out of the land of slavery, out of Egypt, towards the promised land. The bread was used in the temple and it was a symbol of worship. But in the New Testament, Jesus starts talking about how he is the bread of life. That the bread represents Jesus' body, isn't it? When we take communion, the Eucharist, the bread is symbolic of his body that is broken for us. But probably the most important thing that the Jews would have been thinking was when Jesus used the word bread, give us this day our daily bread, the Jews were probably thinking about manna, weren't they? Possibly. Scotty, go to the next one, please. Let's just give you a little biblical recap. This is a picture of the Israelites gathering manna each day. So whenever we talk up the front here, we don't want to assume that a lot of us know Scripture. We love Scripture, we value it, but some of us have known it for a long time and some of us are new to it, and that's great. We want to make everyone feel welcome. But let's just go for a bit of a journey. And we're going to start with Abraham in Genesis 12. Abraham, this moon worshipper, who from Mesopotamia, wherever that is, God says, leave your country. Hey. And he says, I'm going to take you on a journey. The whole world, the nation's going to be blessed through you. This old man, old geezer, called Ancient As, and his wife is barren, and that he's going to be the father of all nations. Just kind of crazy, crazy story. And then through the miracle of God, the promise of God, Abraham and Sarai have a little boy called Isaac, didn't they? And they have a whole bunch of other kids. So it's a pretty messy story at times. And then Isaac has a son called Jacob. And Jacob has a whole bunch of sons. And his sons become representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. But what we know is that Jacob is doing okay, but there's severe famine in Canaan. Severe famine, they're dying. And there's another story, this beautiful story of Joseph, one of his boys who gets taken away, sold to slavery, becomes the prime minister of Egypt. And he calls Jacob, his dad, and his whole whānau to come and live in Egypt. And it's all good. And it says that they lived in peace and it was all good. But then we find out that there's a bad pharaoh comes into power, gets freaked out by all the Israelites and says, these guys are going to overtake us. Let's enslave them. And so what started as a beautiful picture of going down to Egypt and living in harmony with the Egyptians comes this place of persecution and slavery. And not just for a few years, but for 400 years. 400 years. It's quite a long time. God, there's this boy, this Israelite called Moses, who's born, and God calls him to set his people free. And then we get to Moses leads him through the Red Sea, this parting of the sea, phenomenal story. And now Israel, they are now free, they're through the sea, they're kind of in this desert place, heading towards a place that God's promised for them, but they're facing some challenges, and they start moaning at God. And for 3 days they're in the desert, God, we've got no water. God provides for them. And then I want you to go, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 16. And Scotty, you can put that up and you can read if it's there. So that's the story. We're heading to Exodus chapter 16. They've come out of Elam and they're going to start moaning again. Here we go. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, or Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Basically, God said to them, you were slaves in Egypt, and you're going to have a Sabbath rest. So on the sixth day, they had to gather twice as much, so they didn't work on the Sabbath. Now, we're going to skip through to a few verses. Next slide, to verse 13, it says this. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. And listen to this, everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. The word of the Lord. So what is this manna stuff? Scripture says that it's white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. And an omer apparently was like 2.3 liters. So each day they were to gather 2.3 litres of this stuff, and God fed the Israelite people miraculously for 40 years. And it wasn't until they crossed over into Canaan when the manna stopped, and God says, you're now to live off the land. That's an amazing story of God's provision to a people who were unemployed, they didn't have jobs, they couldn't go out and work, and God provided for them. It says in Deuteronomy 25 that during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. It's an amazing story. And the Israelites would have thought about this regularly. But I want you to notice one thing. There's a couple of things in here that I think is really important for us. In verse 3, it says that they're in Egypt and they're grumbling and they said, there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. Okay, so they're an enslaved people, but yet they're, they're moaning about all the food they used to eat. They had all that they wanted, yet they were enslaved. All right. And then, but versus the desert where it says they gathered just as much as they needed. I just want you to think about being if you were an Israelite living in slavery for 400 years, there's no one in your family or line who knows anything what freedom looks like. Hey, that slavery is that's just your thing. That is all you have. That is your normal, your normality. And all they can think about is they're kind of in this desert place, they're having to trust and lean on God, like, I don't know, probably like they've never really had to before. It's deeply uncomfortable, but they're getting what they need. But they're moaning initially, even though that God has done all this miraculous stuff, leading them through the desert, through the sea, he's provided water for them. They're still grumbling, forgetting about all the miracles, and God provides supernaturally. But they're moaning about all that they wanted and all they had, not forgetting that they were enslaved. They were slaves. They didn't know what freedom was about. They had everything they wanted and desired, but that doesn't mean happiness for them. They're enslaved. But trusting in God and enslaving ourselves to him is true freedom. So what does this kind of mean for us? I think of Romans 6. Romans 6 is in the New Testament. And Romans 6 verse 17 says this, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have now come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Egypt has been as seen in Scripture as a metaphor for slavery of death. And sin is death. Sin is in slavery. You know, we think a life of pleasure is what we want. That's what we desire in our hearts at times. But that's actually not life for us. That's actually death. Hey, in Romans 1, it talks about that God gave them over to their sinful pleasures and basically said, you just have what you want. But that doesn't lead to freedom. It actually enslaves us. We think we want whatever. And wants aren't necessarily a bad thing, but God knows what we need and he wants us to trust in him, but our wants can lead us to death, don't they? To have what we want when we want it is the path to destruction. It's the path to sin and death. But coming to Christ, it says in Romans 6, we are slaves to righteousness. We have a new master. Sin and death is not our master. Righteousness, Jesus is our master. It's changed. But it's about a partnership of trust in him, isn't it? It's a partnership of trust. So let's talk about wants and needs. Scotty, thank you. Ask a kid what they want for their birthday. What are they going to say? They want toys, man. Oh, mum, dad, buy me a new duvet cover. Pfft, whatever. Give me a duvet cover. What do they want? They want toys. They want wants, don't they? And as parents, we love to give them cool stuff. And that's cool. And, you know, I'm a 40-year-old man, and when Sarah asked me what I want for my birthday, I want toys. I don't want bed sheets or socks, undies. I don't want those things. I want a Prime Optimus Prime Lego that you can get at Farmers right now, so you can go out, you rush out later and get it for me if you like. But it's this Optimus Prime, right? It's like the old school Optimus Prime, and mostly on Lego it says like, oh, Lego is 8 plus or 6 plus. This Optimus Prime Lego is 18 plus. It's not for children. It's for adult people, okay? Adult kids. And I want that. No, actually, I need that. It's where our wants and needs get a bit murky and messed up. Now, if we were to give our kids what they wanted all of the time, what does that look like? Makaita, doesn't look good. They're spoiled, right? And if you just want to let our kids stay up all night, so you just do whatever you want. You have all the lollies and all the stuff that you want. It's the path to destruction. It's not mum and dad sitting down at 9 o'clock at night having a nice time together. It's kids whizzing around and going crazy. They don't know what they need. but they know what they want. Hey. And as parents, we want to make sure that they get what they need. But as a loving parents too, we also want them to have what they want as well, at times. At times. We just don't give kids what they want all of the time. But do we give kids just what they need all the time? I think it's a yes and no. We give them daily bread, we clothe them. Things that we give to kids that they come from somewhere, but the kids aren't going to often say, oh, thanks, Dad, for going to work this week and getting me that meat sandwich. They often don't think like that, but we give them what they need because we love them and care for them. But we also treat our kids because we want them to know that we love them in lots of different ways. But sometimes what I'm getting at is sometimes we don't know the difference between our wants and our needs. They get a bit mixed up. And wants aren't necessarily are bad things, but they can do things in our lives that aren't good. But you know, I know what I really need and want at the moment is a Black & Decker hedge trimmer. I need and want it. You know, there's a little comment here from a commentator that says, it's also worth noting that the prayer that Jesus prays makes requests for our needs and not our greed. But not our greed. In James 4, it says something like, you know, you ask God for things, but your heart, your motive of your hearts, it's all up the wazoo. That's the Ben translation, okay? You ask God for things, but the motivation of your heart is not good. And that's not to say that wealth is necessarily a bad thing. The love of money is an issue, clearly, for God in Scripture. It says in 1 Timothy 6 that we are to use our wealth well and to care for people and stuff. And if we look at Luke chapter 8, it was a whole bunch of women that bankrolled Jesus' ministry. Read it for yourself. Is that wealth and riches aren't necessarily a bad thing, but if that's what we desire in our hearts, it leads to destruction. But we don't want poverty either because we want to be able to care, and I don't think that God wants that for us either. But we all have needs and wants, but what's the right balance? And this is what I think, that our daily dependence on God keeps all of these things in check. A daily dependence of give us this day our daily bread keeps all of our desires in our hearts in a good place. A constant dependence on God keeps our lives in check. Scotty, if we're to be conduits of heaven, we need a constant reliance on God. Now, I'm just following on from what Kim shared last week, you know, that we... Your kingdom come, your will be done. That we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We carry heaven in our hearts. And we're meant to be bearers of heaven wherever we go. Your kingdom come. We because of Christ in us, the hope of glory, because of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we take heaven where we go. And we're meant to bring God's goodness and his light to this earth that has darkness. God wants us to be that. But Jesus is impressing on his disciples to rely on God for everything. So what does this look like for me? So I'm a dad. I've got three kids, Ruby, Timmy, and Luke, 9, 6, and 3. And you know, one of my daily bread prayers at the moment is that, God, give me a love, grace, and compassion for my kids every day. Because I need God to help me to be a good dad. I can get grumpy, tired, temper, all those things. But, you know, if I'm just those things, God, my kids are going to get a fairly distorted picture of what God's like. And they need me to be in good shape so that they can see heaven, that they can see the goodness of God, right? I can't do that on my own. I need God to keep transforming me, to help me to make good decisions about bedtime or whatever. I need God to help me to be more like him so my kids see the goodness of God. I need God to do that. And I need God for daily bread, and I need God for all those things. But it's not just about the physical stuff. It's for life and sustenance. It's about all that we need to not just to survive the day, but to live the day like it's heaven on earth. I need God to help me in my character. I just wrote here, give us this day our daily bread is a prayer of examine, to look upon the day and to ask God for the things we need, the things of heaven, so that we will be salt, light, operating in the fruits of the Spirit. Matthew's gospel in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes on about, you know, don't worry about your life, doesn't he? What you'll eat, what you'll wear. But there's this one scripture that's probably, it's kind of like a, for me, it's like a an anthem in my life. It says this in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's my testimony is that when Sarah and I have been struggling, or we've needed stuff for provision for things, God has just provided in miraculous ways. But it's when we've trusted God. It's when we've said, God, these are our needs. This is what, we're displaying this out before you, and we trust you. Even though we don't necessarily feel like I trust God, I say it because I trust him. I need to trust him. And God has provided amazing ways beyond what we could believe for ourselves. That's our testimony. That's the faithfulness of God. But we just have to be constantly relying and trusting him. I was talking to Isaac this week about what this prayer, when he hears, give us this day our daily bread, and he just said that, I need a job. He's got a job, but he's reliant on God for the things that he does during his week. I need a job. Great. Daily bread is about God providing for the things that we need. Last slide. Monday is coming for you. Monday, Monday. And you guys are so wrapped about Monday. I know you are. Pumped, yeah. Back to work. Ugh. Work is a blessing from God. As you rise tomorrow morning, you might want to worship God in one day, some way. You might, as Adeline is driving to work, she'll be praying to her father, as she says. As you worship God in some way, and you say, God, give me today this daily bread. What do you need for Monday? What do you need for Monday? So it's not, there's things that we need for the future, and I think we should ask God for those things and keep putting those before him. But this prayer is about a here and now. It's keeping us focused and grounded on the here and now. What do you need God for tomorrow? Even this afternoon, what do you need? But I want you, I'm going to get you to take a moment, and I want you to think about what you need for tomorrow. But here's some for extra points, okay? For brownie points. Tomorrow night, which is Monday evening, I want you to look back over your day after you've said that prayer and relied on God and see how God has answered your prayers and provided for you, okay? So I just want you to sit in quiet. Just invite Holy Spirit. This might be new to you. Katie Pye, that's cool. But God is here. He wants to visit you, okay? Each and every one of us. And I just want you to close your eyes or just get comfortable. Just sit there. Monday's coming for you. It's a good day. What do you need from your father? Interactions with your colleagues, staff, your bosses, maybe you're at home. Whatever you are doing, you need God. All right? So just sit there for a moment. I'm just going to play you a song. Andrew, I hope I can borrow your guitar. And I just ask God about your day tomorrow and say, God, tell him what you need. This is the day that the Lord has made. With everything we're facing, we come before Him with our pleas, knowing not His hand withholding. We see the fields, the lily dressed in gold and glory. The birds You feed, yet we are cared for more than these. You are God, the provider, our Father, who provides our every need, satisfies desire with good things. And let us sing to the God who makes feet stand in places, our hearts not set upon worry, but His kingdom and all righteousness. We see the fields, the lily dressed in gold and glory. The birds You feed, yet we are cared for more than these. 'Cause You are God, the provider, our Father, who provides our every need, satisfies desires with good things. Oh, 'cause You are God, the provider, our Father, who provides our every need, satisfies desires with good things. Give us our bread, the bread of life for this coming day. Give us our bread, the bread of life for this coming day. Give us our bread, the bread of life for this coming day. Give us our bread, the bread of life for this coming day. You are God, the provider, our Father, who provides our every need, satisfies desire with good things.
You satisfy our desires with good things. How good is our God? Thank you, Ben. Hope you're feeling like the rush of the Holy Spirit through you. You're feeling prepared. You're feeling excited for your week ahead. As we think about and contemplate our God as our provider, you know, I just want to remind you that there's nothing that you have to earn for Him to be your provider. He's a good Father. He wants to provide. He wants to meet you where you're at. And we're just so thankful that you've been with us this morning. As we break off, remember we're going to be buying stuff from our young pioneers and as they go out there and enjoying friendship with one another. Know that this is a place we can come and pray for you with myself and Ben and others are around. If you're needing some prayer, we're here to talk as well. And also just to let you know that coming up in 2 weeks' time, if you are new to the church, you've been here less than a year, there's a welcome lunch happening that day. So 2 weeks from today, that and be part of that as well. And so we'd love to just welcome you in and be part of who we are and what God is doing in this season. And we just want to bless you as you go out in your day today. Thank you, Ben. Thank you. I just know, yeah, my Monday's going to be good. Who knows their Monday's going to be good? Yeah. You tell somebody else, your Monday's going to be great. God is good. And we bless you today.